Yes, we are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. John Wall doesn't need no introduction. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick of the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you thought on the future of TikTok. Will Congress ban it? Or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album win Album of the Year? Will Biden's approval rating go up? Will it go down? Or inflation? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. You're smart. You know things. Bet on it. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/stereo. Spelled K-A-L-S-H-I and deposit $50. Kalshi.com/stereo. Get in the game. There is no guarantee of performance. An investor could lose their entire investment. Investment fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Yes, Brandon Bang and I am Rapport Stereo Podcast is here. Hey, have no fear, museum quality. Fully disruptive I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast coming at you right now. In today's episode, I am talking about the worldwide phenomenon, not the I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast, but Love is Blind Season 4. I have suggestions to take an already great show to the next level. Plus, why and how I may be possibly rooting for the Lakers and LeBron James throughout the NBA playoffs. All that and more. This is a fantastic, fully disruptive, fully cooked, just to the right spot. Museum quality I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast coming up right now. Miles Jordan, a.k.a. the Bleach Brothers, a.k.a. the Dust Brothers. Start this puppy off with something real nice. Yes. Start this puppy off with something real loud. Yes. But most importantly, start this puppy off with something real funky. I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast. Let's go. Dome of Disruption. Welcome to the Ziggy Zone of Disruption. Welcome to the world's most disruptive podcast. The name is Michael Rappaport, a.k.a. the Gringo Mandingo, a.k.a. the Smiling Sultan of Sniff, a.k.a. the Inflamed Ashkenazi, a.k.a. the Raging Bullshitter. Hope everybody's feeling good. Hope everybody's feeling safe. Hope everybody is feeling sane. I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast coming live and direct from New York City. Back. Boom. Back in the New York groove. I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast. Hope everybody had a great Easter. He rose. Hope everybody is having a great Ramadan. And I hope everybody is having a great Passover. Full transparency. My wife and I had a Passover celebration the other night, Seder. And we read the pamphlets. You know, there's pamphlets. When you're Jewish, you got to read pamphlets. I don't know where she got these pamphlets from. It's the same pamphlets everybody reads. It's different. Some people have different color coordinations. But the first time I had read these pamphlets out loud in a long time, and I got to tell you something. I'm gonna be honest. Those Passover pamphlets, some of the literature I was reading was a little confusing and a little concerning some of this information. I'm a proud Jewish man. I am by no means, I know more about fantasy football. I'm going to tell you all the things I know more about than being a Jew. I'll list 10 things off right now quickly without thinking that I know more about than being Jewish. I know more about ice cream, sushi. I know more about fantasy football. I know more about Major League Baseball. I know more about the history of Major League Baseball, and I know nothing about Major League Baseball. I know more about the NBA, reality TV shows. I know more about classical music, let alone the other genres of music. I know more about, I'd say I probably know as much about classical music as I actually know about the historical context of being Jewish. I think that was 9 things. I mean, I could go on and on and on. I know more about French cinema by far and Italian cinema than I know more about being Jewish. That being said, reading the Seder pamphlets for Passover this year, I have to go back and reread what I read quietly because we were reading it out aloud as we were eating and such and drinking the wine and such. And, you know, every Jewish person can interpret Judaism as they want. That's one of the great things about being Jewish. I can't say the same for other religions because I know less about other religions than I know about being Jewish. And based on what I just told you, I know very little about the historical, like the history of being a Jew. I'm just going to say this. In these pamphlets that we were reading Passover, and like I said, I haven't read these pamphlets out loud in a very long time. They were talking a lot about the Jews being slaves, and the Jews being, you know, having to do a lot of different things. And I have to tell you, based on some of the things that have been discussed the past 6 to 8, 9 months by some people, the thing that stuck out to me was like, okay, so if the Jews were slaves and me being, I mean, I'm not as white as it gets, but I'm 22 shades away from being like super, super duper, like pure white. I wouldn't even say 22, maybe 10 shades away from being like the white of all the white, like the Lindsey Graham white. Like Lindsey Graham is white, pink white. I hope that I'm not that. I know I'm not far away from it. I know some people are probably saying you ain't that far, 10 shades, whatever it is. I'm very well aware of my physical appearance and my whiteness. For better or for worse, white privilege is real. Do not be fooled. White privilege is real. It's real, real. And I'm going to squeeze every ounce of it that I can. Trust me. But when they were talking in these Passover Seder pamphlets about the Jews being enslaved and needing to be, freed, I wanted to get, I need some, so I mean, there's some pictures, some drawings, some Zapruder film, 8mm. I don't know what they had back then. Because were these slaves my color? For all intents and purposes, and I know this is the cause of a lot of mishigash. For all intents and purposes, based on what I know, there's never been any documented factual proof that any slaves in any part of history have ever been white. That's not to say that the slave owners, based on the pamphlets that I was reading, were white either. This wasn't like, you know, Mississippi shit. I am just saying that I need to reread and dig a little bit deeper into some of these pamphlets because some of it, if you're reading it with an open mind and not any sort of being peer pressured or, any rabbis breathing down your throat, when you read these pamphlets and this information about the history of Jews and the history of... Listen, I don't want to offend anybody, but I don't care what the religion is. I'm not going to name any names. But I have to tell you, I'm Jewish. Okay? I love being Jewish. For me personally, it's more of a spiritual, cultural thing for me. But I got to tell you, and again, I'm not naming any names. These are books. I've said it once and I've always said it. And I always, there's no one who could tell me that these books that people follow to the T, that people live and die for sometimes, that wars are fought over, that these are literally books that are written by unknown, unnamed, faceless people. And the fact that people to this day and going forward to the end of time will live, die, and follow the beliefs of these books is way out there to me. It's way the fuck out there to me. I mean, really way the fuck out there to me, because you get a guy, I don't want to name any, I'm not going to name any names, but this is not even, okay, L. Ron Hubbard. Okay? No, I'm just saying, let's just say this, Dungeons and Dragons, Game of Thrones, Harry Potter, those are all very books with a lot of imagination. They have, you know, these universes that are created and these rules and these ways of living and all this stuff. You know, I've always said that, in my opinion, like there were some incredibly imaginative, great writers and thinkers back then, and they wrote these books, and they're probably like going, who knew? Who the fuck knew that they would take off the way they did? And they're probably like, you know, who's getting paid off these books? You know, you talk about like musicians being fucked over. Whoever wrote these books for these religions, they're really getting fucked out of a lot of money. Like, who gets the residuals for the Bible? Somebody wrote that shit. Somebody, it didn't just float out of the fucking ground, man. The Torah, all of it. I don't want to name names. This shit's in just, this didn't just float out of the ground. Anyway, since I'm speaking of the Jews, and I wasn't going to get into this early. I swear I wasn't going to get into this. I was going to save it to the end. I'll just get it out of the way. Let's just say that. Because I don't like to go from one subject to another subject and then come back to the other subject. I like it to be sort of concurrent. Marjorie Taylor Greene visited New York City last week. We all saw what happened when Marjorie Taylor Greene, mean Marjorie Taylor Greene, showed up in New York on arraignment day. I don't know what she thought. I don't know if she's ever been to New York before. I don't know if she thought she was rallying the troops. I don't know what she imagined her little speech across from the courthouse would be. I don't know what she imagined the response would be. But just like based on information, not that I knew any better, just based on what the information was, I could read between the lines on January 6th, based on everything that was being tweeted, that it was going to be bad. That's documented. Not that I thought it was going to be as bad as it turned out. But I don't know what mean Marjorie Taylor Greene thought she was going to get coming to New York. The best, wackiest, staunch, hard body karate fighters are all in jail. They're in jail. The guy who shat on Nancy Pelosi's desk, he's in jail. They just released a QAnon shaman. He's not about that life anymore. I guarantee you, you'll never see him in his getup again. 13, 14 months in jail, that'll knock all the sass out of you. You ain't putting on the face paint. You ain't taking whatever you were taking. And this is New York City. The world's most sophisticated city in the world. There's other great sophisticated cities. There's other great sophisticated parts of the United States. There's other great sophisticated parts all over the world. But this is the hub, the best of the best. The most well-rounded free thinkers. It's New York, motherfucker. We get songs. There's still songs being written about us. And it ain't just the rinky-dinky shit. Like big, big, big songs are written about New York and they resonate all over the world because everybody knows that New York is the best. And again, I say that giving respect to all the other great cities, Philly, Boston, Chicago, Dallas I was just in, Austin, Texas, Miami, LA, San Francisco. There's dope cities all over the country. New York is the best. I don't know what the fuck this little animal. And I got a tweet. I got a tweet from PETA. PETA tweeted at me and asked, and they did it in a funny way. They tweet at me sometimes. Please, they basically said, I'm paraphrasing. They basically said, please don't. Animals are beautiful. Animals are fantastic. Please don't insult animals by referring to people as animals. They basically said that. And I said, yeah, valid. Because I don't want to argue with PETA because I support PETA. And I support what they stand for. But when I call her, listen, not all people are good. Not all animals are good. Some animals need to be taken down. Some people need to be taken down. That's a fact. Some people are unhelpable and uncurable. Whether or not Marjorie Taylor Greene is one of those people, I don't know. But when I say animal about a human being, that's what I'm talking about, the kind that's too far gone. What she thought she was going to get coming to New York, I don't know. You know, this is a person who believed in QAnon. This is a person who talked and obviously believed that there may or may not, no, that there may be a possibility that Jewish space lasers exist. So this bitch believes in fairy tales. This is, Marjorie Taylor Greene is gullible. She's a gullible, gullible person. She believed in QAnon and she believes or believed in Jewish space lasers. She came to New York and I happened to catch her tweets as soon as she arrived. She said the night before her speech where we ran her out of the city with the pots and the pans and the whistles, they had people down there, jugglers. They had everybody down there. They had like the kooks barking at the moon. They had them all down there. Ran her out. But as soon as she got to town, she was talking about how this is Gotham. It's destitute. There's druggies everywhere. And I knew she was fucking lying. I knew she was fucking lying. She came to New York with an agenda to lie, to straight up lie about our city. And whether you're Republican or not, you should take offense to that shit. Because as a New Yorker, we all know the flaws. We all know that crime should be better in New York specifically. We all know that New York could be cleaner. We all know that, you know, homeless stuff is still an issue in the five boroughs. We all know all the things that are wrong with New York. And we know that she wasn't in the Bronx. She wasn't in Queens. She wasn't in Brooklyn. She wasn't in Staten Island. She was in Manhattan, probably in lower Manhattan near the courthouse, which is very nice. So I knew she was fucking lying and I took offense to that as a New Yorker. Not if anybody said that, I'd take offense to it. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, you're making this up. And then we ran her out of town. My viral video, which was a remix, went super viral. I mean, crazy. I walk around with sunglasses the last few days because I was getting recognized. I had to be like on that shit. Like I was Usher Raymond or one of them motherfuckers. And miserable Marjorie Taylor Greene, mean Marjorie Taylor Greene. She said on an interview with giggling Tucker Carlson that it's there's druggies everywhere. She said it's disgusting. She said it's filthy. And she said it's repulsive. She said you could see people overdosing all over the streets. She said, when I was driving around, when I was walking through New York, I saw people with the big hats, and I know those are Jews. And you know when you say something about them Jews, they get mad. I once said something about the Jewish space laser thing, and they got all bent out of shape, and they invited me to that what's the museum where all them died? In Germany, The Holocaust. They invited me to the Holocaust Museum, and I spoke to these rabbis. What it called? Rabbis. I spoke to these rabbis, and the rabbis were going on and on and on how it hurt our feelings and how you shouldn't say that. And I learned my lesson. But let me tell you something. When you talk about them Jewish people, whoo, they get mad. And I seen them when I was driving through New York. I also seen druggies all over the place. And Manhattan is just, it's just scary. I was scared. You fucking animal. Sorry, PETA. You didn't walk around New York. You came in a car. You went to your hotel room. You went to your rally. You got booed the fuck out. You probably didn't go back to your hotel room. You probably had your bags with you. You went to the airport to go back down to Florida to gargle and suck Donald Trump's balls. Don't come to New York. You're not sophisticated enough to appreciate everything about New York. Period. I am Rappaport Podcast. We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. John Wall, baby. Needs no introduction. Every week, the five-time NBA All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA and what's going on now in the league. CJ will bring his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John Wall will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show to give their unfiltered accounts of what's really going on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you thought on the future of TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album win album of the year? Will Biden's approval rating go up? Will it go down? Or inflation? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. You're smart. You know things. Bet on it. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/stereo. Spelled K-A-L-S-H-I and deposit $50. Kalshi.com/stereo. Get in the game. There is no guarantee of performance. An investor could lose their entire investment. Investment fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Anyway, that's all I'm going to speak on with that. I just was, as a New Yorker, it wasn't even specifically about her, but lo and behold, it was her. I'll always defend New York. I had a great time in Dallas. Shout out to everybody that came to see me in Dallas. Five, not kind of, not almost, 5 sold out shows in Dallas. I was so happy, so proud of that. A lot of people are like, oh, it's Texas. They all sold out before I got to town. Sold out. And the crowds were banging, popping. It was great. Then I'm going to be in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Coming up, I'll be in Point Pleasant, New Jersey at Uncle Vinny's. Out there in Jersey on the 21st and the 22nd. And then I'm going back to Philadelphia the 27th, 28th, and 29th. Of April, and then I will be in Houston May 5th, May 6th. All tickets, all information for those shows and all my shows are available at michaelrappaportcomedy.com. 21st, 22nd, Jersey, Point Pleasant, 27th, 28th, 29th, Philadelph, and the 5th and the 6th, Houston, Texas, which I can't wait to see OG Paul Wall and Adam Ross, the soup boss, and just, I'm pumped to perform in all those places, and I'm looking forward to, I need Paul Wall to take me around on them Cadillacs with the big wheels. Maybe I'll get some more grills while I'm out there. So, I've talked about this show before. Talked about my reality shows before. And this particular reality show is so popular. I'm happy to be able to speak a little bit longer than I normally do about reality shows. Because I know you guys are like, what the... Man, we don't know who that Bambi-eyed bitch is. And we don't know what Vanderpump... I know. So I try not to go too deep. And I always say it every time I talk about reality shows. I always say that I don't want to deep dive too much into the reality shows. And then some people are like, deep dive, deep dive. And then it's the conundrum because I feel like I should have my own like separate podcast, my own separate forum to talk all reality shows. However, when one is as popular as Love is Blind, I feel like I have the open door policy to talk about it because everybody seems to be watching Love is Blind Season 4 on Netflix. Love is Blind, if you've never seen the show, is where they take participants. It's not a competition show, so I don't want to say contestants. Participants, and they call it a social experiment. You know, everybody has the same language. You have to refer to certain things about the show in certain ways. So all the participants, not contestants, refer to it and they tell their friends and their family that they are part of a social experiment, which just so happens to be one of the biggest shows worldwide on Netflix. Season 4 of Love is Blind did not disappoint. I'm sure the biggest problem with the show Love is Blind is trying to ramp it up for more and more seasons. Because it can't be easy. It's not like a scripted show where writers can, if it's very popular, they'll just write season 5, season 6, season 7. Because this is a very specific type of person that comes on Love is Blind. So if you've never seen Love is Blind before, the participants, men on one side, women on the other side, they don't get to see each other. Love is blind. They go into what they call pods on blind dates, except for they're not able to see each other. They're able to hear each other. They're able to talk to each other. And I think at first there might be 25 men and 25 women. You never really get the exact number, but let's just say 20 and 20. Let's say 20 and 20. So 20 participants that are men, 20 participants women, and they go on rounds. They refer to them as rounds of speed dates, but where you're not seeing each other. You're not meeting for coffee. You don't know anything about it. You're asking them questions, blah, 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 blah. And if John likes Jenny, John and Jenny will, you know, request to see each other again or speak to each other again because you don't see each other. This goes on for a vague amount of days because it's a reality TV show. They never say how many days or how many dates specifically. They never mention that, which is kind of important, kind of not important. But the next thing you know, John may be falling in love with Jenny and Kimberly. And then it'll get down to a certain point where he has to make a choice. Now, what we also see besides these speed dates is the women talking to all the women and the men talking to all the men. Now, Jenny and Kimberly might talk to another girl named Lisa. And Lisa goes, well, I was also interested in John. And then that creates a little beef, a little tension. And then the men, John might talk to another guy named Jimmy. And Jimmy might be like, well, I was talking to Lisa, this, that, and the third. Anyway, inevitably, all the participants, not contestants, make a choice. And when I say make a choice, it's not just to see each other in person. I believe it's one of the rules that the way you make your choice, the way you choose the woman that you want to be with, and it's always the woman being proposed to by the man. That's just the show. It's always the woman being proposed to by the man. But the way you get to see the person that you've fallen in love with, because people say, yo, I've fallen in love with you. Love really is blind. They say this a lot. John has fallen in love with Jenny, and I didn't think it was true, but I have fallen in love with somebody I've never seen. Some people are now giving a little bit of physical description, but they try to stay away from it, right? They try not to go too far in the physical description. And in the interviews, when it's people alone, they'll go, I don't care if Jenny is short. I don't care if Jenny is tall. I don't care about her size. I love this person. I love this person, and I want to be with them for the rest of my life. And then you'll see the guy go, I don't care if she's this, that, and the third. And everybody's smitten because, number one, they probably have their phones taken away. They're isolated from the world. They're probably not eating good. They're there, you know. I'm going to also tell you this, if you've never seen the show, they're all, let's say, doable. None of these people are bad looking. Now, you might find some people more attractive than the other person. None of them are bad looking. And it also is not the Bachelor or the Bachelorette. They're not like the same contestants that go on the Bachelor or the Bachelorette, who a lot of times are like fucking model level good looking, the men and the women. Some of these dudes, like, they're like GQ models. And some of the women, you're like, these are models. They're like, oh, well, I'm a veterinarian. Like, no, no, you're not. That's what you do because you're not maybe a Victoria's Secret model. But some of these motherfuckers are like beautiful looking men and beautiful looking women. No Bruno. But the point is that they're all, you know, in shape-ish. There's no deformities. There's no, they're all regular to good looking to just plain looking people. There's no like giants. There's no little people. There's none of that. That's a big point. So people go on and on and on and on for however many blind dates they have. And the way you get to meet the person you've fallen in love with is you have to propose to them. So you get on a knee. They all do it. They all get on a knee. It's like some Shrek shit. They all get on a knee. I don't know if these people have religious things or not. I don't care. And I love the show. Maybe it doesn't sound like I love the show. They all get on a knee and they wind up proposing. And then a couple hours later or the next day, they meet. And they've said they've fallen in love with each other. They meet and it's always awkward because they've fallen in love with a voice and an energy that they've perceived, what they've imagined, and things they tell people. And, you know, after they have the group of couples that have all proposed, it's just about five or six of them. The next thing you know, they go to fucking Acapulco or somewhere, some shithole like resort down there in Mexico. And you're with your fiance who you've just met 24 hours ago. Some of them have sex the first night. Some of them are freaked out. Some of them you could see as soon as they see the person, they're like, oh shit, which is happening on season four. This guy, Zach, and this girl, Arena, like she's like bugging as soon as she sees him. Like as soon as she sees him, she's like, blink, you don't blink, you're weird, you're freaking me out. And she called it, she said to his face within the first 5 minutes of meeting, you look like a cartoon character, which is just straight up disrespectful. She's saying to the person she just said yes to, I'm going to marry you. And yes, she's falls madly in love with. Anyway, the show is very compelling. It's watched worldwide. And, you know, us as viewers, it's easy watching television. It is easy viewing TV. You watch it. You root for some, you like some, you don't like some. Some you think you don't like, the next thing you know, you do like them. And you just watch the love unfold. And at the end of the show, because after they go to Acapulco or Mexico or the trip away where they're like, you know, on vacation with a perfect stranger, they come back and they live with each other for, I believe, 21 days. And at the end of the 21 days, you have to actually make a decision. And I'm sure the production pays for it. Will I actually marry this person or did I fuck up? And everything in between happens. Sometimes they get married. Sometimes they break up. Sometimes they say, you know, we don't want to get married, but we want to stay together. And it's great TV. I love the show so much. I am worried about them being able to find doable contestants who are mentally sane. Because you can't have like, they got to do thorough background checks. You can't have like any psychos on there. But I think the way to step this show up, because if we're really saying that love is blind, and if we're really saying that love is in the heart, not in the looks, if we're really saying it has nothing to do with the physical appearance, and if we're really saying, like we say on the show all the time, you can really fall in love with somebody you've never seen. If all that is true, the way to really amp this show up and take it to the next level is to mix and match reality TV show genres. Love is Blind mashup with My 600-Pound Life. Love is Blind mashup with Dr. Pimple Popper. Love is Blind matchup with a 1,000-pound sister. You get these people with good hearts that are looking for love. They tell each other everything. They share who they are. They're in the pods. They don't get to see each other. And you want some goddamn good TV? You want some worldwide TV? Because Netflix is all about worldwide. They've conquered America. They want to conquer the rest of the world. You get some of the regular contestants from Love is Blind, the just regular doable people. You get some of the best of the best from My 600-Pound Life. And when they open those doors and you get to see who you've fallen in love with, that's how we take this show to the next level. You get Dr. Sandra Lee to send in some of her patients with these fucking boils on the side of their head, with good hearts. If love is truly blind, you get some of these people to come in with these fucking, I don't know what, these door knocker things on the side of their cheeks, pre-Dr. Sandra Lee. And you let those people open those pods and see if they really, really have fallen in love with complete strangers. That is how you see if love is truly blind or not. Mix and match the best of the best from all these shows and call it the Love is Blind Olympics. I want people walking in there with like missing fingers and shit. I want people walking in there with like wonky eyes, eye patches, fucking limps, all kind of weird shit. And then I want to test the hearts, the soul, and the characters of these people who think that love is truly blind. I Am Rappaport
Podcast. We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. John Wall, baby. Needs no introduction. Every week, the five-time NBA All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA and what's going on now in the league. CJ will bring his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John Wall will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show to give their unfiltered accounts of what's really going on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you thought on the future of TikTok. Will Congress ban it? Or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album win album of the year? Will Biden's approval rating go up? Will it go down? Or inflation? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. You're smart. You know things. Bet on it. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/stereo. Spelled K-A-L-S-H-I and deposit $50. Kalshi.com/stereo. Get in the game. There is no guarantee of performance. An investor could lose their entire investment. Investment fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
It is that time of the year, my favorite time of the year. I told my wife, I said, get ready. Get ready, because it's NBA playoff time. And that first round of the NBA playoffs, I believe, games every single, it's like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, games every night. Not just regular games. Playoff basketball 2023, there can only be one champion, and it starts with the play-in tournament. And let me tell you something. I don't know how the NBA players actually feel about the play-in tournament, but you should be so thankful that some of you motherfuckers aren't down there in Cancun hanging out with the Love is Blind cast, okay? Because the fact that you can lose the 7th and 8th seed game, lose it, and then get another chance to make it into the playoffs, you should be kissing, sucking, and thanking that little Adam Silver every single time you see him. You know, in the playoffs, you know who's already down there in Cancun hanging out with the Love is Blind cast? Dallas Mavericks. The Dallas Mavericks have been eliminated from the playoffs. They went from a 4 seed. They went from having an MVP candidate to having a guy who is miserable playing basketball, Luka Doncic. Kyrie came to town, and it's been ever since. Said it once, said it many times before. Love the Dallas Mavericks. Support the Dallas Mavericks. Will always have a place in my heart for the Dallas Mavericks. That team that beat the LeBron James, Miami Heat team. And just the culture of the Dallas Mavericks, Mark Cuban and all that stuff. But something just ain't right, to quote the great Keith Sweat. They messed up with Jalen Brunson. And they messed up bringing in Kyrie Irving, and the curse of Kyrie Irving has taken over Dallas. They ain't in the play-in. They ain't in the playoffs. They're with the play with themselves. They're done. And yes, I blame Kyrie. Everywhere he goes, this is what happens. Something bad happens. Be it Cleveland, be it Boston, be it Brooklyn. That's 3 teams. I think that Kyrie Irving doesn't give a shit about the teams he plays for. I think that Kyrie Irving looks at it like, yo, this is just a job, and they're paying me. And that doesn't mean that Kyrie Irving isn't a great philanthropist. Doesn't mean that he doesn't donate a lot of money to tons of great, great charities. But to me, it's like, I could say on behalf of an actor, I could say on my job and what I do. There's been jobs, there's been gigs I've taken where I'm like, I'm just doing this for the money. Straight up. I'm not going to say what they were, when they were, or what kind of things they were, but you'll just go there and you're like, yo, I'm just getting this fucking money. I think Kyrie Irving, in a lot of ways, I think he doesn't like the working for other people. I think he feels like he doesn't like to be, you know, an employee. I think he feels like his value, and some of it is right, but I think he thinks that his value and what the stars of the NBA get, they don't deserve. Listen, this is the way it works. You ain't an owner of a team. You're never going to be an owner of a team, Kyrie Irving, based on all the shit you've said. Again, doesn't mean that Kyrie Irving isn't good-hearted. Doesn't mean that Kyrie Irving doesn't do a lot of great things for a lot of people, donates a lot of money. But I think he resents playing for any team. I think he looks at it like, you know, I'm working for them. I'm working for the man. Fuck them. We're the stars. And a lot of it is right, but you ain't the owner. So I think he looks at going from team to team as a gig. And yeah, he wants to win. He's competitive. And yeah, we know he's sick. We know he's talented. We know all those things. But this is the 3rd team in a row that this bullshit has happened to. The Boston, and these aren't some bullshit franchises with bum-ass players. You're not in Orlando playing with a bunch of scrubs. You were in Cleveland. You were in Boston. Great franchise with other all-stars. And then you were playing with 2 of the other best players in the NBA. And now you go to just 4 teams. Yo, it's on him. Not to say that it's not on Jason Kidd, not to say that it's not on the other personnel, but you go from being the fourth seed to being out of the playoffs. The Nets lost Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and still had the grit and toughness to maintain an identity, fight for an identity, and they're in the playoffs and the Dallas Mavericks ain't. That shit is on Kyrie Irving. Anyway, playoffs are this. In the East, we have the one seed through the sixth seed. I'll read them off. Milwaukee Bucks, Boston Celtics, Philadelphia 76ers, Cleveland Cavaliers are playing the New York Knicks, and the Brooklyn Nets are the sixth seed. They lost Kyrie and KD, and they are still the sixth seed. Sixers play the Nets, and the Cavs play the Knicks. Like I said, those are going to be fun, long series. I'm going to make my predictions when that time comes. We ain't talking about the playoffs now. We're talking about the play-in. The play-in tournament is the number seven seed, Miami Heat. Shout out to Udonis Haslem, scored like 74 points the other night in his last game. Regular season game as a Miami Heat player. They might need him in the playoffs if they make the playoffs. Eighth seed is Atlanta Hawks. Fought, scratched to make it into the play-in. They were able to do it. They fired their coach. They didn't make any trades. They didn't get one of the best point guards ever in Kyrie Irving. And they still were able to claw back and make it to the eighth seed, respectable eighth seed. The ninth seed is the Raptors. The 10th seed is the Chicago Bulls. The play-in tournament starts Tuesday night. Up first, Atlanta versus Miami. Miami has beat Atlanta three of the last four times. I also still think Atlanta is deeper. No Bruno. And I think they're going to win this game. But I would not be surprised if Miami out-physicals them. No Bruno. The Heat just have a problem scoring the basketball, which I don't care what level you're playing at. If you can't put the ball in the basket and put points on the board, you are in trouble. The loser of this game, the loser of the Miami Heat-Atlanta Hawks game plays the winner of the Bulls-Raptors game. So you get two chances to make it into the playoffs, which is crazy to me. But you get it in the NBA. You can lose and still make it into the playoffs. So the Raptors are playing the Chicago Bulls. Personally, I think the Toronto Raptors, they've checked out. I think Nick Nurse is ready to make a change. I'm taking the Chicago Bulls in a tight one. Then if they have to face Atlanta or Miami on the road, I'll take the home team. The seventh seed goes to Atlanta, and the eighth seed goes to Miami, who faces off against the Milwaukee Bucks. Good luck with that shit. Good luck with that shit on the West. Right now, it's done. Denver Nuggets, one seed. Memphis Grizzlies, two seed. Three seed goes to the Sacramento Kings. Fourth seed goes to Phoenix. Fifth seed goes to the LA Clippers. And the sixth seed goes to the Golden State Warriors. See, a culture of winning. They fought. They clawed. They scratched. They still got a sixth seed. Dallas Mavericks, they know nothing about this. And I blame you also, Luka. Luka, you got to get off the Taco Bell. The fucking Chipwich sandwiches, the hot cheese. You're not built that way, Duke. You're not like one of these dudes. Who's that fucking guy on the Seattle Seahawks, the wide receiver? He talks about all he eats is candy. You're not one of them dudes that could just eat candy and shit. You're white. We can't do that. I don't give a fuck where you're from. Lithuania, Croatia, wherever the fuck you're from. They're never going to be like one of these white athletes, Kevin Love, Larry Bird, Steve. Like, yo, all I do is eat M&Ms. This shit don't work. I don't give a fuck where you're from. You see some of these athletes, Chad Ochocinco. He said, all I've ever eaten is McDonald's. And he's still Chad Ochocinco. He's like 57 years old. He goes, I eat McDonald's to this day. That's just some genetic shit that he got. You're not that dude. You ain't Chad Ochocinco, Luka Doncic. You need to get on that paleo, intermittent fasting or some shit. I'm a fan. Anyway, the Kings are playing the Warriors and the Suns are playing the Clippers. Either Kawhi Leonard or Kevin Durant ain't making it out of the first round. And I love it. Oh, my God. Oh, that's going to be good. That is going to be good. I'm going to make my full predictions on that when we get there. But the play-in tournament, again, starts Tuesday night. The seventh seed Los Angeles Lakers play the Minnesota Timberwolves, who have imploded. Rudy Gobert You tried to punch my man, friend of the Ian Rappaport from Jersey. Kyle Anderson tried to mush him. I don't know what to, but yo, Rudy Gobert's arm is crazy long. You see when he tried to push him, like he went across three people and did that shit. That's that 7'2" French shit. Then their best defender, Jaden McDaniels, gets kicked out of the game and punches a wall and breaks his fucking hand. You dummy. So we got the Lakers playing the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Lakers are going to beat their asses. And the winner of that series gets to face the Memphis Grizzlies. And I am rooting for the Lakers and LeBron James to beat the Memphis Grizzlies. I said it. Dare I said it. But I'm not making predictions on that until we get there. The 9 seed is the Pelicans, who are playing the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Pelicans have beaten the Young Thunder 3 of 4 this year. But OKC, they could win this game. It's going to be tight. It's going to be tough. I would love to see the Thunder win, but New Orleans, it's going to be tough. New Orleans, again, Zion's been out almost the entire season. Fought, clawed, scratched to get back. The play-in is here. The NBA playoffs are here. Love is Blind season 4 is up. It's a great time of the year. Spring is here. I'm on the road. I'll be in Jersey. I'll be in Philadelphia. I'm being Houston, and I'm rooting for the Los Angeles Lakers to beat the Minnesota Timberwolves and then beat the shit out of Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks, and the most unlikable team outside of Memphis, the Memphis Grizzlies. I'm done. Came Saw Disrupted. Miles Jordan, a.k.a. the Bleach Brothers, a.k.a. the Dust Brothers. Take me out of here with something real nice. Take me out of here with something real loud. But most importantly, end this I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast with something real funky. I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast. I am out.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you thought on the future of TikTok. Will Congress ban it? Or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album win album of the year? Will Biden's approval rating go up? Will it go down? Or inflation? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. You're smart. You know things. Bet on it. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/stereo. Spelled K-A-L-S-H-I and deposit $50. Kalshi.com/stereo. Get in the game. There is no guarantee of performance. An investor could lose their entire investment. Investment fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.